Carl Delina, welcome, Carl.
Yeah, thanks, Hutto. Great to be here.
A lot of talk in the media, and I think it's natural enough about what a big day it is for Richmond, given their two finals failures in the last couple of years. But it's a massive day for your club as well. The planning that has gone into building this playing group up to this year, next year, these couple of years, where you're hoping to be pressing for finals success. So it makes days like today really big for your footy club.
Yeah, it's a massive day today, Hutto. We have been building over the last couple of years, especially trying to bolster our stocks and probably try to get to that top four level, which is hard to get to, and there's been some great teams up there. But I think, seriously, if you want to have a crack at the Premiership, you have to get yourself up there and try to stay there for a little while.
So do you think, Carl, as a response to that, that if you go down today, that not only will the year have been viewed as a failure, but perhaps an era?
No, I wouldn't look at it that way at all. The way I look at it is you need to steadily improve over a period of time, and you can't just look at 1 year in isolation. It's not a straight line when you're looking at improvement, and sometimes you pull back and sometimes you surprise on the upside. And I suppose last year, people wouldn't have expected us to go through to a prelim and effectively be top four, and we probably got ahead of where we thought we were as well. So you come back and you rebuild and you develop and you keep improving every year. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Probably a couple of games this year we thought, you know, we dropped that. We thought there was no way at the start of the year we should have dropped those. And you put those back into the equation and you're pretty close to top four. So it can go either way very quickly in any given year.
With the age profile of your list and some of the players you brought in at the end of last year, how many more chances does this group have for the ultimate success? Before you do start to have to move on?
Yeah, look, I think there's probably a couple of answers to that, because if you look at our list, the age profile of the list, there's not too many clubs going around that got someone who's 37 and played over 400 games. Yeah. And, you know, Drew Petrie's getting closer to the end and Jared Wade and these guys. But you've still got a really young core that's come through together. You know, the Zeebles, the Cunningtons, the Atleys, these sort of guys who are still a really young group of players. So what we've been trying to do is continue to build on that core group. But as you go along, where you've got gaps to fill, plug those and try to supplement it. And I think, you know, with bringing Dal Santo in a couple of years ago, if you had him and you had Wellesley the last 2 years, which we haven't had, we've got a couple of games out of Wellesley the last couple of years, the midfield would have looked totally different. You know, a bit of pace on the outside, which we've been lacking, and it could have been a very different dynamic for this side.
Do you think it's fair to say that the industry has believed that it was always going to be a love fest for the loser of last night's game just because of circumstances? The industry in general believe there's going to be enormous pressure on whoever loses today's game, and both clubs for different reasons. I mean, Richmond, for the fact that it will be three finals series in a row without getting a result. Are you guys, because everyone does believe that you call it the window, in your window at the moment, because of the circumstances of leaving the players out last week has put a real spotlight on the team. Do you see it the same way internally yourselves?
No, not at all. I think you put it well in terms of saying the outsiders or the media are looking at those sorts of things. Last week, the world was going to implode. It was a disaster. Round 23 was going to fall through the floor. But we got over 40,000 at Etihad Stadium, got really strong TV ratings, and it was quite a good game. This week, all of a sudden, there's pressure on the coaches for some reason. People got to fill columns in newspapers. They've got to bring a focus or an angle to a game. We don't tend to listen to that all that much, to be honest.
So I've got to follow that up with this one. Would you... Well, it's a pretty obvious question.
No, I was just going to put you in a headlock in a minute.
Get used to it. Will you look at recontracting Brad over the summer, or will you wait until some stage into next season to look at his terms? I mean, it's been a long deal. There's been a fair bit of speculation. And given what you said, you could put a lot of that to bed by acting sooner rather than later.
Yeah, look, I'll give you my personal preference, because it is something that goes through a process and goes to the board. But my preference would be to, you know, look at it at the end of this year, once we finish the season, the dust settles, sit down, do a review of performance for the year, and then make the call at that point in time. And I think that's what we've been planning all the way along. I don't think there's a lot of merit in going halfway through next year and making a decision. I prefer to move earlier rather than later in terms of, you know, looking at that extension.
Carl, did the coach pull the wrong rein last week in the post-game press conference in, to paraphrase, everyone should be ashamed for questioning North's want to win? And why I ask that is because, personally, no question that the players selected went out with the best intentions to win. But I would question North's desire to win the game with the team that they put out there.
Yeah, I think Brad's response there was more directed at those people who were suggesting we're trying to manipulate the top eight in some way or where we were playing, which was just absolute crap, to be blunt. It was all about getting our players right for the finals. So look at the context.
Oh, no, and I think most people appreciate that. For our point of view, we go, well, we don't think, Brad, you're doing everything to win round 23 because the team you selected would say that's not the case.
Well, it was a bit of a straw man argument, Carl.
I think it was a bit of a storm in a teacup, too, to be honest. The thing is that we're trying to get players right to play in the finals.
Hmm.
Like, the media's now saying, if we don't win this final, Brad's next on the chopping block.
Hmm.
So wouldn't he do everything to get our players right for the finals?
I think we all... Yeah.
And so I think what he was doing is, if you look at the lead-up to the finals, we had to win about seven in a row, and then we came up against the Bulldogs, where we still thought we had to win until the night before when the Cats lost. So we didn't have a chance to ease off or rest any players like the Bulldogs did. The Bulldogs made six changes against us. They'd rested blokes going to Perth the week before. They rested three or four going to Brisbane because they didn't have to win. No one picks up on that. But because we did it all in 1 week because of the circumstances, then people picked up on it. So it wasn't anything untoward. It looks funny because you do it all in 1 week, but there wasn't any hidden agenda besides resting players.
On a more positive note for a second, the football club seems like it's in a really stable platform at the moment. I go on the field, we've seen this build over, you know, 3 or 4 years with some additions coming in over the last couple of years. Pretty stable on the field. From a coaching environment, very, very stable there. From a general environment, you know, from the head, you know, the president right through, seems like it's in a pretty good space.
Yeah, it is. It's really positive. And I think stability is the key. And we wanted to get some of that stability all the way through the key roles in terms of chairman, CEO, head of football and senior coach. I think that was really important for us as a club because we were fighting back from, you know, the AFL wanting us to go to the Gold Coast. So it was a big era for us. And I think what we've been able to do is get the club into a position where we're not probably getting pushed around so much and the AFL is happy with what we're doing and people are comfortable with where we sit off field as well as on field.
What are your biggest challenges then in that area now, financially particularly?
Financially, we've still got a little, you know, about $1.5 million of debt to get rid of, but that's really good in the context of the AFL competition. It's more looking forward, probably from 27 and beyond, is in terms of extending the deal that we have to play games in Hobart. There'll be the competitive balance mix and what that looks like. And that sets up the next stepping stone, I think, in terms of what we can do as a club.
What about membership, Carl? I mean, your membership has gone up and continued to set new bars, but I could be quite wrong here. I haven't seen the figures, but just anecdotally and from my own observation, it seems like North have a lot of members that don't necessarily turn out to games regularly.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think people are fairly selective in terms of the games they come to. But I think the good thing about North is we've got a really loyal supporter base and member base. And I've had these chats with people around the club. We had a really good discussion about it last year, saying, look, as a kid, if you're in your class at school, you might be the only North supporter. And you might get fun poked at by the other kids. So you learn to be resilient early on in life. and if you're a North supporter, by the time you get to be an adult, you're bolted on, you're rusted on for life. So
you might have a chip on your shoulder.
That's right. No, it's good. Yeah, great supporter base, and it has been growing. And we've had good growth in Tassie as well.
Can you do more to encourage the members to actually turn up, though? I'm not sure what you can actually do.
Do you have a good ratio of members turning up to members? Is that above or below other clubs? I mean, you're coming from a further way back in that you may have half the members of a Hawthorn, but percentage-wise, a good turn-up?
Yeah, I think overall it's not too bad. Yeah, we'd like it to be better. So overall, industry-wide, it's not disastrous. It's just, you're right, you start off with a smaller base, and you might have scattered membership. You know, we've got quite a number of people who are members in Perth You've got members in Hobart, so that reduces the core. But yeah, we do what we can to encourage people to come along. It's tough.
Last one, Terry.
Yeah, we just started this off with a lot of questions about where the footy club last week. You wouldn't have it any other way, would you? I mean, the pressure of this industry is exactly what it is. No one wants to know what the bottom four sides are doing.
Exactly right. Look, we lap it up. We take it for what it is. It's great to be part of finals, and you're going to get attention. You're going to get pressure. You're going to get a lot of articles written about it about you. But it's just fantastic to be here in September.
It is. It's a magnificent setting for it today. We wish you all the best. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, good luck.
Carl Delina, CEO of the North Melbourne Footy Club, joining us here in the box at the MCG.